Welcome to Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church, where we worship God, make disciples of Jesus Christ, and serve our community and world. The following is a recorded message based on God's holy word. We would love to see you for our worship services on Sunday mornings. For more information, visit www.mattisav.org or call 217-355-5947. And may God bless you.
Well, good morning, everyone. I will introduce us. My name is Rodrigo Rosado, and I am originally from Peru. This is my wife, Tania Rosado. She's originally from Michigan. And Elia, who was born in Florida. And we are the Rosados, and we serve in Argentina. We live in the city of Buenos Aires. As something brief about each of us, my main hobby is soccer. You may have picked that up. Tania loves the outdoors, going hiking and nature. And Elia, she loves a lot of things, but her main hobby right now is aerial silk. I mean, I don't know how to describe that other than hanging by a rope and hanging by a fabric. I'm sure it's much fancier and aerobic. It's like gymnastics. She loves it. It brings joy to her. She looks forward to it. And that is her main hobby. Well, we serve in Buenos Aires. We mainly serve in three different roles. The first role that we have is we pastor the Harbor, which is a network of house churches. It's a church that we have planted in the last 3 years. We have been in Argentina for about 3 years, a little bit more than that. And so our vision is that we are an international community, gather and scatter, live in the hope of Jesus, where we live, work, and play. And there might be some pictures in the next slide, by the way. We are a network of house churches. So our vision to have, this is our vision statement, to have that, to be a gather and a scatter, is because Buenos Aires is a very large city. It's about 15 million people in the metropolitan area. And most people don't have cars, so they use public transportation. Using public transportation can take up to 2.5 hours, depending on where you live. We actually have one of our house churches that it would be about 2.5 hours away on public transportation. So instead of having people come to one specific point and expect them to do that every week, what we have decided is to take the church to where people are, which is why we operate as a network of house churches. So weekly, we gather in small groups in house churches. That is their main church. But once a month, we all come together. And it's been lovely to see transformation. One of our maintenance is discipleship pre-conversion. So I'll share about Tomiko. I don't know if she's in one of these pictures. Maybe not. Oh, she's sitting right there, but you can see the back of her head. She's 75 years old. She's Japanese descendant. And she first she came, she belonged, and then she believed. And we offer this belonging before believing so that may they believe that they belong in the Father's arms. And she accepted Jesus. She was baptized. And she recently started serving in kids ministry. We find now, you know, that's what she studied in university when she was young. And I love to see that God's calling everyone everywhere, no matter what age, what background, what language. God is on the move. Like Aslan is on the move, if you like Narnia. God is certainly on the move. And so that is one of our roles. We pastor the Harbor. We also, then we have each different roles with the area. I am the district leader, which is the I oversee the work of the Free Methodist Church in Argentina. And something that we are working on right now, it's an empowering lady. We believe, aside from the Great Commission, perhaps one of the strongest verses is when Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And that's to everyone, especially lady. And so we're empowering lady. We had our annual session. It's not there. But we did a family camp style so we could attract more families, so that we not just share the vision with the pastors and leaders, but especially with ladies. We believe that the future, and that's how Methodism began. John Wesley empowered everyone, class meetings, writers. We believe that that is what the Lord is doing in Argentina. So we want to empower ladies. And out of that annual session, where we commissioned Jonathan there, who was part of the Harbor for 2 years with us, he was ordained, and we sent him out. He's church planting now in a different city of Mendoza. And what we decided as a group, family camp, let's sign up, let's do something to support the new work in Argentina, and not just the pastors, because God has called everyone. what can we do as an Argentinian church? So we did our first mission trip. So from all the different churches in Argentina, we organized over more than 30 people from Patagonia, from the east, from the west. And it was mostly lady. And we did our first mission trip to support the new work in Mendoza. And it was awesome. There were great stories. The theme of our mission trip was Jesus is good news. So we did preach the gospel in parks, in plazas. We went to hospitals to pray for people. But we also wanted to ask people, what is good news to you? So for some street vendors, it was to help them sell their products. So I said, we have like 30 people. You think we can help you sell? And we were selling sodas and ice cream. And that was good news to them. And it was just lovely to see people being activated in mission. And well, that's a little bit of what's going on at the Highway in Argentina. And I'll let Tanya talk about AD.
So I have this. Is this working? We're good? I did it right? Okay. I was really nervous about doing the mic right. We have the harbor. He's the district leader for Argentina. And then I am what we call a pillar leader for empowering holistic transformation, which is a mouthful. But the Free Methodist Church in Latin America, their vision statement is to participate with God in the restoration of Latin America by developing healthy leaders, multiplying disciples, groups, and churches, and empowering them for holistic transformation. Those three things are pillars of our vision. And so I'm a pillar leader. I lead the love-driven justice work for the Latin America area in our 16 different countries. I have a team of seven, we call them coaches. And we train and equip and coach churches to know how they can love their communities in tangible ways and interact with this concept of God has called us to love-driven justice. And so it's really exciting that we get to see what these churches are doing, what God has called them to. So in Argentina, we're going to have a Celebrate Recovery ministry that's starting in March. We have a garden in Quito. We have after-school programs in several different countries. This is one of them. We're helping a lot of micro-enterprises to start. That other picture up there, they call themselves the Little Spider Knitters. That's a translation because it's in Spanish. But these women that would stay in bed all day watching TV, now get out of bed to knit their products. And so it's not just business, but it's this restoration. We talk about restoration with God, with self, with others, and with creation. And this is what I get to every day, hear these amazing stories of transformation and help churches to continue to push that forward. So today, I actually, for my message, wanted to start with what we start with in our Foundations of Holistic Transformation training. If you guys are up for it, it's a little thought imagination exercise. Are you guys good with that? Can we try that? Awesome. Okay, so in our very first training that we do, we read in Scripture that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I'm going to stop. Yes, the Lord's Prayer goes on, and I think it's on the screen in the next slide. We're going to stop at that part. Sorry, next slide after that. That's the name of my sermon. And so I'm going to stop there at that prayer and just focus on that line. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I'm going to ask all of you, if you feel comfortable, I promise not to do anything scary, go ahead and close your eyes, because we're going to imagine for a second. It's nighttime. You've been at church. You've gone home. You've had a good dinner. Maybe watched the basketball game. And as you're going to bed, you pray, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And now you're going to sleep, and you fall asleep, and you have the sweetest sleep you've had in a long time. No tossing, no turning, just deep, peaceful sleep. And then you wake up, you get ready to go to work, you open the door, and you walk out, and you realize that that prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, has come to pass in its entirety. You can go ahead and open your eyes. What would be different as you're standing outside at your door and you realize his kingdom has come, his will has been done here on earth as it is in heaven? what would be different? What would look different? And I'm a really interactive preacher, sorry. So if someone would want to, we do interaction. So shout it out. What would be different if that prayer was answered tomorrow morning when you woke up? What would be different? The sky would be different. Okay. What else? Neighbors would know each other. Love it. What else? And greet each other with joy. Yes. What else? No more sadness. What else? Yes, Jesus loves me as I am still. Yes. What else? Say it again. Every color would be brighter. I love that. What else? What would be different in your neighborhoods, in your city? Peace and quiet. Except for the joy. I think there would be quiet and rejoicing at the same time, but it works. Yeah. Families would be whole. Creation would be restored. Amen. Let's maybe. Jesus would? Needs would be met. Let's do one more. We could do this all day. This is exciting to think about, right? Suffering would end. Amazing, right? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So my role in empowering holistic transformation is to help churches recognize what would be different, what is that, and to participate with God in the restoration of Latin America in ways that are unique to them. For you guys, you're doing ESL classes, which I think is amazing. So I would have nothing to do here. You guys have it figured out. But that's kind of my role. I share that with you today, yes, so you can understand what I do, but also as the starting point for our message today. As the year started, I really felt the Lord prompting me to read and spend my quiet time with him in Matthew. And then separately, without talking to each other, Rodrigo was feeling that our sermon series to start the year would be Your Kingdom Come. And so he started in Matthew and did the Beatitudes. And so I really, for the last month, have been camped out in Matthew, really just looking at Jesus. And so in Matthew, it starts with, you know, after Jesus' birth and all of that. But it starts with John the Baptist, and he comes baptizing people, and he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And that is his message. Jesus comes to John the Baptist. He's baptized, goes into the wilderness for the temptation, like in the scripture reading today. And then he starts preaching. And what is his message? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. It's the exact same message. Then, and in this, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near, there's this whole theology of the kingdom that I don't have time to unpack today, where the kingdom has come near, it's here, but it's not yet in its entirety. So the kingdom has come near, but you guys all shared these longings of what it would be like if the kingdom were to come in its fullness. And as I've been reading in Matthew from that moment, I'm realizing that Jesus was spending his time here on earth teaching his disciples what the kingdom of heaven looked like and how to live in that kingdom. Now, you may know that at that time, the Jewish leaders, they didn't really get it, right? They're like, kingdom of heaven has come near, but it does not look like we thought it was gonna look like. What is going on? And for you guys, as it is for me, hopefully I'm not alone in this, sometimes I think we're saying, the kingdom of heaven has come near, but you can't hear me. I don't necessarily see it. What is going on here? Despite our efforts, and when I do this training in Latin America, a lot of what they say is, we would have food. There'd be no more poverty. We would have homes. These are the things that they are pointing to. And so as I do this training, the same for you, it's easy to see that this kingdom hasn't come in its entirety. And yeah, we participate with God in that, but we're still longing for more. So today, I want to talk a little bit about what we do while we wait. When we know the kingdom has come near, but we're still waiting for the entirety of that. So I'm going to go ahead and pray before we dive into scripture. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for the opportunity and the honor to speak your word today, to share about your kingdom and being faithful as we wait, as that kingdom comes nearer and nearer. I pray, Lord Jesus, that your kingdom would come, your will be done here in Mathis Ave as it is in heaven. May these words be yours and not mine. May you speak your words to each heart here today. In your name we pray. Amen. I'd invite you to look with me at 1 Corinthians 13. It's on the screen. It might be a little small. Oh no, it's big here. It's small for me. We're going to read in 1 Corinthians 13, 8 to 13. But before we read, just a little bit of context. So Paul is writing to the Corinthian church to address some issues. If you guys have studied the Bible, you know there were some issues in the church. And specifically in chapter 12, he's talking about spiritual gifts and the body of Christ. No matter the spiritual gift, everyone has a place. And then in chapter 14, he picks up that thread again, focusing specifically on speaking in tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. But in the middle of those two chapters is chapter 13 that's basically saying, yeah, spiritual gifts, go, but love. I just paraphrased the whole chapter right there. So he starts out with that, and verses 4 to 7 are the famous love verses, right? So love is, that's what it is. Love is patient, kind, doesn't envy or boast, doesn't dishonor, isn't self-seeking, keeps no record of wrong, doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth, protects, trusts, hopes, perseveres. Wow! Love is. And then we have these verses that we're going to pick up today. And it says, love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now, we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Here is a section of verses that's talking about the fact that love never fails. But the other stuff, the prophecy, the special knowledge, the tongues, that's really only in part. It's only half the story. It isn't in its fullness. It sounds a bit to me like the kingdom is near, and yet we know it's not completely here. It's only in part. As missionaries, and I would say for everyone, we like to talk about at the Harbor that we're everyday missionaries where we live, work, and play. So I'm a missionary officially, but I think it's for all of us. We sometimes have to do things, and we sometimes have to follow God only when we see in part, when we only have part of the story. It's interesting. I was in this passage. I was meditating on it. It was working itself into a message before Pastor Wick confirmed we were speaking here. And it's interesting that we're here, because the last time we saw the Andersons, we only saw in part. We knew we were going to go to the mission field, but the where had all of a sudden become hazy. And so we were actually in Hungary with them, and they gave us this space to process that. we'd only seen in part. God did finally make that clear. We ended up in Argentina. But again, we're serving and we only see in part. I don't know how much Argentinian news gets to the States, but inflation has kind of been run away. And over a year, it was 127% inflation. Prices have tripled. Our daughter's school sends us a letter saying how much her bill is going to go up for the next month. And that happens every month. And so we have been praying about that. You should have seen us. This is really funny. Sorry, an aside. You should have seen us at Walmart on Friday. because we were like, in Argentina, this would cost this much. And we were very excited about purchasing things to take back. So, sorry, that was, I got distracted right there. But as we, so we've been praying into this, our finances and how we're going to handle it. Because our donations, commitments, they're not at the level that Free Methodist World Missions considers super healthy. And what are we going to do about that? And I felt that I needed to search God's face and say, do you still want us here? And it's important sometimes when you only see in part, God, what's going on? And it was interesting because over the course of 3 weeks, he confirmed it over and over again in ways that bring you to your knees in tears. I don't know if anyone else has been there when you've had confirmation that Argentina is, and this ministry is, still where he wants us to be. But he didn't tell me how he's going to fix the problem. We only see in part. In ministry, the church is growing. It's grown. We've been there 3 years. It's grown from 7 to 40 in 3 years. It's grown from Rodrigo and I leading to now we have 10, right? 10 lay leaders. Yeah, we have 10 lay leaders that help us with our different house churches. But it hasn't been without its hiccups along the way. And the most recent one, we've been co-pastoring for the last 3 years, which is really complicated. And if you're like, huh, what's co-pastoring? Well, you know how our church has been feeling for the last 3 years as we've taught through that. And culturally, it's a new thing, especially in Latin America. And so they have been working through that, helping them to comprehend it. And it's becoming increasingly hard for them to comprehend, accept that, especially during the stage that they're in. In September, we went on a prayer retreat for visioning for the next year. And I began to feel that God was asking me to take a step back from the co-pastor role so that a title and a role wasn't a hindrance to the coming of the kingdom. It was confirmed in so many ways. Stepping back from co-pastoring, not from being a pastor or a missionary. This is not me announcing to the church. I'm not doing those things. That's still there. I'm still pastoring, but I don't have that official co-pastor role. And that feeling grew and was confirmed, but it wasn't without loss because we knew what we were doing, how we were doing it, and now God's kind of shifting. And I only see in part. And as I processed some of that grief with a friend and a mentor, she said these words, in the midst of this, you have to look past the grief to the promise of what is to come. And as I reflected on those words, this passage that we're talking about today came to mind. Look to the promise of what is to come. This passage where we only know in part, what should we do? And this verse starts out that when we know in part and we prophesy in part. To me, this word prophesy in part is a call to prophesy to the promises God has given us. For our finances, it's trust, testifying that, like in Psalms, it says, I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. And that God, who has been good in the past and faithful in the past, will continue to do so because that is God's nature, because the kingdom is coming near. And no, we only know in part. We only see in part. And because of that, we can only prophesy in part. But the part that we can prophesy is pretty cool. That we have a good, good God. With ministry, I still have this whole pillar thing that I do, but also for church. And what does that look like for living missionally? And I'm getting excited as I look to the promise, past the grief to the promise of what I could do. There's more time, the neighborhood we live in, the parents that I interact with at Elia's school. There is a promise of things that God gives us. So what do we do when we only see in part? And maybe you guys are saying, I only see in part this thing in my life, and I don't know what that is. For me, it's this new role. But the first thing that we can do as we wait is to prophesy the promise that God has given us, that he's going to give us a hope and a future, the promise that he is good and has plans for us. And then just kind of wait for those little sparks. And I've started taking notes on my phone of, it says 2025, but it's those little promises, what it's going to look like. And I don't have it. I only see in part. But it's going to be good. And we can prophesy to that even when we don't know. Even when we're waiting for it to come in its fullness. The second thing that we can do when we only see in part is love. This whole chapter is about love. So how am I going to talk about 1 Corinthians without talking about love? We can lean into love. When we only see in part, you cannot go wrong loving people and loving on people and loving God and loving others. Love never fails. It says at the end of this chapter, the greatest of these is love. I don't have the answers for my own life. I don't know it all. I don't know what's going to happen with our finances, but I have love. I don't know what pastoral ministry will look like this year, but I know I can love on people. I don't know the outcome of certain issues facing the harbor. We have a couple that we love, know and love, and they have been helping to lead one of our house churches. But this past year, they've really been struggling to figure out how to be lay leaders. And they both now have jobs. Only one of them did before. They have a daughter, Elia's age. And so this balance and the growth and maturity, they just haven't figured it out. And so they've actually taken 2 months of rest. They said, we just need to rest. They're still coming to church, but we need a moment, which is good. Sometimes we need a moment, right? Several of our students were an international church. Argentina, Buenos Aires, is a metropolitan city. People come from all over Latin America to study there. So we have a lot of students from different countries. And for different reasons, several of them have gone home. And so we have these leadership development things that we're working through. And I don't know how it's going to work out. We're consolidating some of our house churches, what we call missional communities. But as we do it, the thing that we can do is love. When we don't have all the answers, when we see in part and we know in part, we can lean into love. We say it, we preach about it, but in those moments when we don't quite know everything that's going on, 1 Peter 4:8, I think it's up there, reminds us, love each other deeply. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Lean into love. Whatever is going on that you're waiting for answers, lean into love. And the last thing that I want to highlight today of what we can do when we only see in part comes from a phrase in these verses, which I've read this chapter a lot of times, but I had never seen this part of the verse. And it's at the end of verse 12, and I think it's on the next screen. Now I know in part, I'm going to read it from here. I can't see it up there. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. So we know in part, we prophesy in part, we see in part, but we are now fully known. And sometimes when we're struggling to know what's going on and what's next and how this all fits together, the fact that I am fully known, you are fully known, is amazing. We know that. I think sometimes we know that in our head. But to have it really penetrate to what we do every day is sometimes complicated. We don't always rest in the knowledge that we are fully known. Right now, I'm doing a devotional called Backyard Pilgrim. Recommend it. It's a devotional where you walk your neighborhood for 40 days, and you set out a route, a 15-minute walking route, and you walk that same route each day for 40 days. And the idea is to get you to slow down. Sometimes we're just in our car driving 55 and a 25, and so we're just going too fast. And the idea is that Jesus walked everywhere, and so we need to be a backyard pilgrim so that we can know our neighbors, know our neighborhood, and also be known. To be fully known. It's that chance to slow down and be fully known. It's been really exciting to see the same three ladies who walk their dogs and then they sit on a park bench every morning at 10 o'clock. And I say hi to them in their conversation, so it hasn't gone past that. But it's interesting to know these things about our neighborhood. And that is great. But the truth is, I am already fully known by a God that knows everything about me, but loves me so completely and so intensely that he sent his only son to die for me. You are already fully known, fully loved, despite what's going on that you don't quite understand, despite everything else in the world around you. He loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. He knows that we mess up. He knows that we don't have it all together, and he calls those parts sin. And he came to die for us anyway because he's so in love with us. As he loves us, as he knows us, because love never fails. While we're waiting for answers, waiting to understand, we need to rest. Just rest into our Father's arms, who knows everything about us, the future, the past, what we need, and he's going to take care of it. And he just says, rest in me. When Jesus preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near, the repent, he's saying, turn away from what you're trying to do. Turn around from you working really hard to figure out the parts that you don't know. Turn around from all the maybe messed up decisions you're making. Turn around. Because there is a God who fully knows you already, and he's going to take care of it. Sometimes repent sounds like this big, scary word, but it's really, don't do it on your own. Turn around. Give that up. Turn around and rest in your Father's arm, who knows you fully and loves you. We, as missionaries, we've been, this is a funny message. I was like, Rodrigo, is this a downer of a message? That's what I asked a couple days ago. And it's always a, how do we share the great things that are going on? But also, you know, our lives are like yours. We sometimes don't Not sometimes. We don't know it all. I don't have all the answers for my life. I can't prophesy it all for you either, unless God gives me revelation right now. If he does, I'll let you know. But this is life, and we walk it together. And so as missionaries, we'd like to invite you into this with us. We wanted to share this message so you would really know us as missionaries and how our life is. And so we want to invite you into walking as missionaries with us. There's a slide here with some information and more pictures. We also have a table out front. And as we follow after God, prophesying that God is good and he's doing really amazing things in Buenos Aires and throughout Latin America, even while we wait for all the answers, we'd love to walk that path with you. Maybe through prayer, encouraging each other, finances. These are things we'd love to do, not just you to us, but us to you. Our joy is to meet new people in churches, but our joy is to come back the second time as we see how things are going or people write us an email. So come talk to us after service. Sign up for our newsletters. It's here on the screen. Love to get to know you. I have to say these things because I'm a missionary. It's always hard to do a message and do missionary stuff. So that's there. Walk with us in that. Let us walk with you in it. We would love that. But more than anything, if we go to that last slide, just to remind us what the real important thing is here today, it's not us, it's not our mission in Argentina. The really important thing is that our call for all of us where God has planted us, for us in Buenos Aires, for you here in Champaign, our call is to prophesy the part we do know, to love God above all, love others above all, lean into that love, and to turn around from whatever is causing all the chaos and just rest in the arms of the one who knows us fully. I'd really like to pray for you guys, and then I think Pastor Chadwick's going to come up and pray for us. He said he wanted to do that. So. But if you'd let me pray for you guys, I would love that. Lord Jesus, I just thank you so much for this opportunity to be here with this congregation who loves you so much, who's seeking after you, who's participating in the kingdom that you want to bring here in Champaign as it is in heaven. And we just pray, Lord Jesus, for each person, and specifically if there's a person here just wrestling with things and trying to figure things out, that you would help each one of us to continue to prophesy that you are good and that you are present and that you are working here. I pray that your spirit would help people know that so tangibly, that it is so easy to testify that. We pray that you would help them lean into love in difficult times when we don't know, to lean into love, loving you and loving others, and help us just to rest. I pray rest over this church. I pray rest in the midst of this winter and the situations that are going on. I pray for them that you would come in mighty ways and that we would see your kingdom come here as it is in heaven. In your name we pray. Amen.
Going to invite the Rosados to come to the altar for a moment, and if you would want to come and pray around them, I'd just invite anybody at this moment to come before we keep going in worship, just so we have a moment, and just to reiterate what they've already invited you to know, they would love to have you as supporters, whether you sign up to support them financially. You heard already this morning that inflation in Argentina, inflation globally is going up, but they've set a budget as missionaries, they raise the funds, and then the world changes, and their funding stayed the same. And as missionaries, we know that doesn't work that way. So we invite you, we're going to give them a small gift as a church, but really it's small, and so we would invite you to consider partnering with them. No matter what you're capable of financially, it means so much to have partners in prayer. If you feel like God is just nudging your heart even a little bit this morning, sign your email up, get on their prayer list to know what's going on, to know what's happening in Argentina, as they are our family serving in Argentina. We want to pray over them and bless them. Let's pray over them even now. If you just extend your hand, if you don't want to come up at this time, but just extend your hand in prayer as we pray for the Rosados. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the love that you have poured out for each of us. God, we've heard from your word this morning, the reminder that right now we see things as in a mirror. We see things partially, and yet your kingdom fully is. Mm-hmm. And so, God, we pray with the Rosados faithfully that you would just come and make the fullness of your kingdom known in new ways, that it would grow in Argentina, that it would grow here in Champaign, that your kingdom would continue to come on earth as it is in heaven. And it is, Jesus. Your lordship exists even now. And so we pray in faith. We pray depending on your lordship. We pray depending and calling on your love, Jesus. We pray your blessing on the Rosados as they travel. We pray your blessing on them as they visit other churches and raise support and raise awareness. We pray as they go back, Lord Jesus, that you would continue to use them to raise up leaders, to bless and multiply home churches, house churches, Lord, that your kingdom would grow in places where it has never been able to gain purchase previously, and that your light would shine in the darkness through them and over them. We love you, Jesus. We are thankful for your love. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus, who is Lord already. Amen. Amen. Amen.